Minnesota Real Estate Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope the weekend is starting out well, the 31st of July. And this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Scott Wolmering of the WE Team with REMAX Advantage Plus, Mike Overson with Luminate Home Loans, and I'm Ryan O'Neill with the Minnesota Real Estate Team, REMAX Advantage Plus. We appreciate you joining us here today. And Mike, good morning to you here, the end of July.
Yeah, end of July already.
Where has the year gone?
It's I can't believe that it's going to be August tomorrow, and school's going to be starting right around the corner here.
Right.
This year's just gone by too fast.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a busy year from a real estate perspective, a mortgage perspective, and we appreciate you joining us here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Every week here, we are on from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And you can call us or text us, 612-294-6949. Again, 612-294-6949. Or visit mnrealestateshow.com. And there you can find out about both of the real estate teams, about Luminate Home Loans, about Mike Overson, and all of our great partners that are part of our show. And throughout the show, again, if you have questions, comments, thoughts, we always welcome them. And Mike, in our first segment here, we always do like to dive in from a real estate and mortgage standpoint. And just prior to the show, talking a little bit, with COVID numbers upticking around in different parts of the country, what's happening to interest rates?
Well, you know, we spoke about it last year, and I spoke about it this spring too. The longer COVID hangs around, the longer these low interest rates hang around, and the more the cases go up, the more the interest rates go down. And so we've seen it this week. You know, as we see numbers tick up with COVID, we've seen interest rates just trickle down a little bit too. So, you know, I think we're going to have, you know, the kind of the second coming of this big refinance wave, which we never really got out of it, to be honest with you. But we're going to see, you know, we're going to see 30-year fixed rates. We already see them starting with a 2. Do they get down to 2.75 or 2.625 again? Now that COVID is kind of making its way back, I think we could see that here coming up in the next couple months.
Yeah, it, Mike, it's been an interesting time. I wonder what percent, be interesting to find out what percent of homeowners have refinanced in the last few years with these interest rates. I mean, do you think it's as high as, you know, over 50%, 60%?
I would say so, yeah. I don't see why you wouldn't have.
Right.
You know, so a lot of people, if you were at a, you know, because there's two, that's a twofold. So not only are interest rates lower, but equity has never been higher either, you know, so a lot of people, you know, had a higher interest rate, could have refinanced to a lower rate, but maybe didn't have the equity to do it.
Sure.
You know, now this time around, now they have both. We have the low interest rates and we have the equity to make it all happen. So I would imagine that, yeah, probably at least half of the U.S. is refinanced already. And if you haven't, now is a good time to take a look at it, because we kind of got wave number two here of these kind of ultra low interest rates coming up.
Yeah, with those with the numbers, the COVID numbers rising in a lot of parts of the country, it is boy, it's an interesting time. And in what we've seen real estate wise, maybe we can comment on this, Mike, is that so the new listings here in the Twin Cities this past week did uptick a little over 3%. So 1,909 new properties came on the market, 3% increase. Pending sales down 12%, so 1,422 pending sales. And then the overall inventory is getting a little better, not much, but it's down 29% year over year. 7,106 properties here in the Twin Cities. And that, you know, as we look at the market, Mike, we are seeing a little bit of a cool down, I would say, in really all price ranges, areas. There's some new construction numbers I'm going to share here too in a bit. But again, when we look at that inventory number, that's 7,106, that is the highest number we've seen in, you know, as long as I can remember, still historically low. But are you noticing anything on the mortgage end with a pullback at all?
You know, we don't see as mortgage guys, we don't see the craziness, right? We're not a listing agent that puts a house on there in the market and gets 70 showings in the first 24 hours and gets, you know, 20 offers in the first 3 days. We kind of just see, you know, we have a client that wants to make an offer in a house and we send out a pre-approval letter and they're in multiple offers. So, you know, how high can we go on this one? You know, and then we wait for the news back. So we don't get the kind of the firsthand news there. As far as our amount of closings and applications and stuff coming in, it's been holding pretty steady. You know, there's still a lot of buyers out there. There's still a lot of people that want to buy. Still people, that obviously are selling their house. It's just, you don't have that frenzy on the listing side where you're going to get 70 showing requests in the first 24 hours. You know, maybe you're only getting 20 or 30, which is still a fast moving market. But again, it's just not that craziness that we saw a few months ago.
Yeah, it is noticeable. I would say talking to different agents on the Minnesota real estate team, different price ranges, areas where there's just, you know, a little bit of the summer pullback. People are on vacation with the 4th of July recently this month. It just seems there may be some buyer fatigue out there too. But again, many times you've brought up with these low interest rates compared to the rental market, you have to look at your actual cost of owning the house. And again, if we look at, Mike, you know, the median sales price right now in the Twin Cities, $350,000,
right,
which is up 15%, 14.8 year over year. So that's significant.
Yep.
Again, but when we look at what is it cost to rent and, you know, what can you get for the 350, just some things to consider for buyers out there.
Yep. So, I mean, here's a little food for thought. You know, my rule of thumb is 10 grand in a purchase price is going to equal about $50 in monthly payment. And so let's say, you know, let's say home prices, say you got to pay 10 grand more for that house in order to get it because you're in a multiple offer situation. Well, if rates go down a quarter, you just offset that $10,000 cost.
Right.
And the interest rate side, now it's costing you literally no more than if you would have paid 10 grand less, but now your rate's a quarter higher. So the interest rates, we've talked about it, you know, for the last 18 months, that's the great offset. You know, as home prices continue to go up, as the median sale prices go up, you're offsetting your total cost by the low interest rates, and it still makes more sense to buy today than it would to wait.
Mike had a question come in here before the first break. Again, 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us anytime by phone or text. This one came in regards to a VA buyer. Sounds like the buyer has some questions about the appraisal process. Is there another sort of certificate of value with a VA buyer? That's an interesting one.
Yeah, yeah. So the VA does have a kind of their own notice of value is what it's called, actually. And when an appraisal comes in, the lender is then required to send and deliver this notice of value to the buyer. And it's a special form that the VA has when it comes in on it. You know, so if you're getting pinched on closing time frames at all, you know, the lenders can't send out the CD, the closing disclosure, until that notice of value has been sent. And so you can't put the cart before the horse in that particular case. So once the appraisal comes in, then you have to get this notice of value sent out on the VA form. And then once you can prove that you have delivered that to the buyer, now you can send a CD out and start that 3-day closing deal. So just, you know, one of those little differences. Each loan program has its little own caveats and stuff, and it's one of those little known things on the VA side of things.
Yeah, good, very good question. And actually had another one come in here regarding a buyer and multiple offers. What can be done to get the offer accepted? We here at the Minnesota Real Estate Team, we have a list of about 25 different things that you can do. If you would, I know we're a little tight on time right now, but if you'd like a copy of that, feel free to reach out to me through the show. Again, it's just ryan@mnrealestateteam.com is my email. I would be happy to share that with you. There's a lot of great tips on there, Mike. There's a lot of very good things on what agents can do, buyers can do, things that may be obvious, things that maybe are not so obvious. But it's an effective list, Mike, that's helping clients win.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm curious on that list. I think we were talking a couple weeks ago about the personal letters.
Yeah.
Getting sent out.
Right.
Was that, I don't remember, was that on the list?
That has been on the list. But now, with everything going on, with the fair housing and everything, and especially some states outright banning it as well, that's a whole discussion piece.
Yeah, yeah. So I was curious to see kind of what played out with that, because I did hear, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago, and there's some changes on that coming up, and so that would be something to maybe discuss here in a little bit.
Yeah, we're up against our first break at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us. Anytime now or throughout the week as well. If you have real estate questions, comments, thoughts, we're here for you. We'll be back after the... Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope your weekend is going well. It is the last day in July. And it's been a hot summer, a very warm summer. And we always appreciate you tuning into the Minnesota Real Estate Show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We're here to talk all things real estate related, mortgage related, a lot going on. And excited today to have on Adam Hartung. Adam Hartung is one of our longtime preferred partners at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. If you go to mnrealestateshow.com, you can see Adam. And Adam is a certified financial planner professional and an accredited investment fiduciary. He's the president and founder of Midwest Money Management, located at 17316 Kenyon Avenue in Lakeville, Minnesota. Securities offered through Parkland Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Fee-based investment advisory services offered through Sigma Planning Corporation, a registered investment advisor. Midwest Money Management is independent of Parkland Securities, LLC, and SPC. Good morning to you there, Adam.
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing?
Doing well. We appreciate you joining in. Are you probably exhaling a little bit and taking a little bit of a breather after your big event this week?
Yes. So, as you know, on Thursday we had our first live client event in a year and a half. So our halftime report, which we do once a year, but last year's halftime report at this time was virtual. So it was nice to be back together in person and be able to see everybody face to face.
Well, that's really good stuff, Adam. And you, perfect timing having you on here this week, sharing your insight with everyone. What do you have for this week, Adam?
Yeah, I thought I'd share some of the stuff that we went through at our halftime report, which is, you know, an event we do where we talk about what's been happening. You know, kind of where are we at now? What do we see coming? And one of the things that I thought might be interesting for your listeners that we spoke about in terms of where we've been is really, and of course you guys talk about this on the local market every week, but that housing sales nationally have just gone through the roof. So these are national statistics. From May of 2020 through May of 2021, 5.8 million homes were sold, which is an increase of 44.6%. And the median sales price in the United States rose by 23.6% to $350,300.
Wow.
So, again, big increase. I'm curious to know, because I know you go through these numbers, how close is Minnesota, do you think, in terms of that increase in housing prices to the national market?
15%. So we have seen year over year, it's about a 15% increase to $350,000.
Okay. Yeah. So the actual the price is about the same, but the increase is a little bit more national even than it is locally here. One of the things we talked about are, you know, what are the things that's driving this? And obviously, we know there's low supply, we know there's high demand, but again, low interest rates are really kind of facilitating the ability for these housing prices to continue to rise. As of July 1st in the United States, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate was 2.98%. So 40 years ago, mortgage interest rates peaked in the United States in 1981. Anybody on the show want to take a guess what interest rates, mortgage, 30-year fixed mortgage interest rates peaked at?
I'm going to say 16.5.
Anybody else want to take a guess?
Yeah, 15.
18.63.
Wow.
18.63%. And so, and I think people don't realize how much low interest rates really do make housing more affordable. If you look at that median house, that, you know, $350,000, if you put a 20% down payment down and finance the rest, at 2.98%, the principal and interest payment is $1,176. Mike, what do you think that payment is on that same house at 18.63%?
I'm going to say like $1,750.
Ryan, you want to say a guess?
$2,000.
$4,368.
Wow! Unreal.
Think about that. I mean, there is almost no one in the United States that could afford the average house if we went back to what interest rates were in the early 80s. No one.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it really is. And the other thing, you know, again, I'm not saying that interest rates are going to spike anytime in the near future, but what I will say and just warn people is that, you know, if the Fed loses control, interest rates can rise much further, much faster than anybody thinks they can. And you think about just what a change that would mean for everything if interest rates were to start to rise.
Very true.
Interesting point.
Unbelievable when you think about that, though, just from an average standpoint. But it's perspective.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, even I was amazed by how much that mortgage payment, you know, from going from $1,100, you know, a little under $1,200 to almost $4,400 a month. So on the same house, just based on the interest rates. But another thing we talked about at our event was just the unemployment rates. You know, we've seen unemployment come down significantly from 14.8% to 5.8%. That's, you know, at the peak of the pandemic. So while unemployment has gotten significantly better, it's still been kind of stuck at that level, and it's still significantly higher than 3.5% that it was before all this started. And the interesting thing about that is there's this big dichotomy, because it's not, unlike housing where there's a shortage of supply, in the unemployment market, it's not that there's a shortage of jobs. In fact, we just hit an all-time high record number of job openings in the United States at 9.2 million. Most jobs ever recorded available. And yet we have over 8 million people still claiming unemployment benefits. And so, you know, what's causing the disconnect? Obviously, some of it is, you know, mismatch in job skills, you know, those things. But a lot of it, in my opinion, is that we're paying too much in unemployment benefits. And you know, why would people go back to work if they can make just as much or more staying home? The enhanced federal $300 a week, I think, is really slowing down unemployment from coming down.
Very interesting. Those numbers are what are you seeing, Adam? Just in reference to all of the markets and such.
Well, stock market has continued to be really strong. Now, since the end of the quarter, we pulled back just a little bit. Kind of, well, we've been flirting with all-time highs, but the market is still doing well, but stock market valuations are right now at the second highest level that they've been in history. The only time that we've seen higher stock market valuations was the peak of the 2000 stock market bubble, the tech bubble. Right now, they're meaningfully higher even than they were in 1929. So there's been a couple of times that we kind of got to the level of 1929. This is the first time that we're meaningfully higher than that in terms of stock valuations.
What do you think moving forward? What should people expect?
Boy, that's the $10 million question, right? One of the things we talked about in the event is that the first law of economics is that for every economist, there's an equal and opposite economist. So for every bullish economist, there's a bearish one. And the second law of economics is they're both likely wrong.
Right.
So, you know, valuations is a poor timing measure, meaning that just because stock market valuations are high does not mean that stocks are going to fall. You know, they could go significantly higher. We could see a long ways to run yet. But, again, higher valuations do mean that if something happens, whether it was inflation and, you know, higher interest rates or a geopolitical risk, a cyber attack, something from China. I mean, if markets start to fall, the higher the valuation is at the point that they start to fall, likely the bigger decline potential is. So, again, high valuations doesn't predict that markets are going to fall, but it does mean that there's a little bit higher risk if it does start to materialize.
Hmm. Any tips or strategies for people with this information moving forward?
Well, you know, again, in my opinion, and I like to say that I'm the world's foremost expert on my opinion, you know, navigating a market like this, I think, warrants a more tactical strategy to your investments. In other words, rather than have just a simple buy and hold strategy where we say we're going to buy stocks and hope that they're higher 10 years from now, you know, we take more of a tactical approach, which says, hey, we want to be in a position where we can own stocks as long as they're continuing to do well, but I also want to have somebody that's going to watch it for me every day and know that if things change, if the market starts to go down, that we can get out of the way before too much damage is done. And that, again, we do have traditional investment styles that we utilize with our clients, but one of our biggest strategies, in fact, the biggest one that we have, is our tactical equity or tactical stock model, which does exactly that. And so we do currently at a firm, about two-thirds of our client assets are in a tactical model like that, where we have that ability to, you know, be 100% invested if markets are continuing to rise, but also move 100% to cash, if need be, in the short term at least, just to try and protect from losses.
Adam, we always appreciate your wise counsel and wisdom. So glad to hear you had an awesome client event here this week too. And thanks for sharing your tips and some great insight today. Best way for people to connect with you again?
Yeah, if anybody's interested in hearing more about our tactical strategy or just sitting down and talking with us, we offer a no-cost compatibility consultation. They can find us online at mnrealestateshow.com or midwestmoneymanagement.com, or they can call our office directly at 651-204-3000. Again, that's 651-204-3000. And me or someone on the team would be happy to sit down with them and just, you know, go through their situation, answer their questions. And if it seems like there's something that we can do to add value to their situation, we'd be happy to talk about how we can help.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Adam, and hope you and the family enjoy the rest of the weekend here, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys. You too. Have fun.
Yeah, take care. That's Adam Hartung here. We're up against the halfway point of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We come back, got some featured listings to talk about, more market updates, questions that have come in, 612-294-6949. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Second half of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. It's the end of July. Hard to believe the year zipped by on us so quickly. Hope you and your families are doing well, having a good summer. We appreciate you tuning in every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. If you're looking to buy a house, sell a house, invest in real estate, we've got an awesome agent on the Minnesota Real Estate team within a few hours of the Twin Cities area and all over the Twin Cities, in your community, your neighborhood, your school district, wherever you might be looking to buy or sell. We would love the opportunity to work with you. Again, if you just go to mnrealestateshow.com, there you can find out about the team as well as all of our great partners as well. And Mike, I did want to feature a listing. Kieran Houlihan with RE/MAX Advantage Plus, a Minnesota real estate team, has a listing in Brooklyn Park. This one is priced at $470,000. It's 9031 Telford Crossing in Brooklyn Park. And Kieran says it's a beautiful two-story. It's a rare opportunity in Brooklyn Park's most prestigious neighborhood, located amongst the fairways of the Edinburgh Golf Course. This completely renovated five-bed, four-bath, two-story is special. Beautiful crown molding throughout, new paint, completely updated kitchen, including high-end cabinetry, granite in butcher block counters, 21st century appliances, and the most amazing outlook from the kitchen window. Too many features to list on this one. Kieran actually's got an open house today, Saturday, from 1 to 2:30, and then also tomorrow, Sunday, from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Very nice listing again. It's in Brooklyn Park, 9031 Telford Crossing for $470,000. Again, open house today from 1 to 2:30, Mike, and then also Sunday, 1:30 to 3 p.m. Have you ever been up by that golf course at all or golfed on that golf course?
I have not. Heard good things, but I have not been up there personally.
Do you golf at all, Mike?
Yeah.
You do?
Golf at your team event every year.
I know, but I'm just thinking how busy. I know how busy your event. I mean, the thing about mortgage for folks that maybe haven't refinanced or purchased a home recently, the thing about mortgage that I think sometimes people don't, that's different than real estate. Real estate, you would say, is busy. It could be 7 days a week type of a deal. You know, phone calls, emails. You have to be ready when the client's ready. But I think probably with mortgage, there is, in my opinion, a much higher level of paperwork and a strong attention to detail is really needed. You could say with an agent, of course, that that is very important. But I would say some agents who are not great with detail hire transaction coordinators, licensed transaction coordinators who help them with all the paperwork. You guys, you don't really do that. You have a team of people, but you as a loan officer really have to be detailed. I mean, is that a key element?
Absolutely, yeah. You got to be detailed and you got to stay on top of all the changes because it's ever changing. And you got to remember is that typically mortgage lenders aren't the ones making the rules. It's the government. It's Fannie and Freddie making the rules. It's FHA making the rules. It's the VA making the rules. And then that information has to trickle down to the lenders. Then the lenders have to basically, quote unquote, enforce those rules or meet those guidelines. And so, you know, there's different, you know, new applications that came out this year, the universal residential loan application that all lenders had to start using. So that was new this year. There's always new forms, new disclosures, you know, new this, new that, like the VA appraisal form or value, notice of value that we're talking about earlier. You have all those little caveats there and it's tough to stay on top of, unless you got good people and good systems in place, which everyone on my team has a ton of experience. And so we're really good with that. But, there's just so many different moving parts to it. And there's so many different rules that, you know, it's one of those things where if you're not on top of your game and detailed, I mean, it's just not going to be a pretty process.
Yeah. 612-294-6949 throughout the week. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, we're here to be a resource for you. We do seminars each month. If you go to mnrealestateshow.com, we've got our first-time homebuyer seminar, our investment property seminars that we do as well. Maybe you're an investor looking to learn how to invest in real estate. They're done with Mike and his team at Luminate. Really great events. Mike, I did want to touch on new construction numbers, though. New construction numbers in June, the Commerce Department released those numbers, and they were down almost 7%, down 676,000 units nationally. And they went on in the article to talk about that the data suggests the housing market was losing momentum amid soaring prices that are being driven by an acute shortage of properties. We've seen that here in Minnesota as well, just with a shortage of properties, shortage of labor, shortage of materials, all those types of things.
Yeah.
It's been, I think, a very challenging year for a lot of builders, Mike.
Absolutely. The effect of that COVID had on the supply chain has been huge. You know, everywhere from, I mean, just the PVC or the different water pipes that you have running through a house, all the way down to, you know, plywood and 2x4s and you name it, faucets. I mean, there's a lot of options that went away with builders just because the strict materials, just you can't get them anymore. You know, so maybe a builder had, you know, 8-10 different faucets you could choose from. Now they might have 3,
right,
potentially, just because that's what happened with the supply chain on pretty much every facet of it. So, yeah, definitely a challenging time, you know, but new construction, you know, again, it's the more predictable choice out there, if you will. So if you're a buyer and you're going to look at buying an existing home or new construction, you know, if you get into a contract on new construction, you know, you're going to get the house you want. You're going to get what you want in the house. You know that once the house is done, you're going to be able to move into that house.
Right.
You know, if you're out there buying existing, you make an offer on a house and you're competing with 10 other people, you don't know if you're going to get it or not. If you don't get it, now you got to move to the next one, you know, and so It's been a good option for a lot of people because it is a little bit more predictable. But then you also saw prices go up and stuff this year because of the supply chain.
Yeah, I had a text message question come in from Lucy to 612-294-6949. Lucy said she's looking at purchasing a home in St. Louis Park and noticed online that there is an assessment on the property. Who pays that assessment? Thanks for reaching out, Lucy. And in the actual purchase agreement, there is a spot where it notes who is going to pay that, whether the buyer and seller prorate it or whether the seller pays that entirely. So it's a very important thing that you and your agent go through to fill that out, to note that so that it's done correctly at the closing, Mike, because assessments can be very common. Assessments are common. Different types of liens can be there sometimes, and it's something you really have to be aware of as a buyer.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of buyers don't even know what a title company does.
Yeah.
You know, they just, it's like, you know, you got your real estate agent, and you got your mortgage guy, and you got your home insurance agent, and you got the title company, and we're like, what do they do? You know, it's like probably the most unknown in the out there in the public of actually what they do, but their job is to make sure that when you buy that house, you're not taking on anyone else's debt per se. So if there's a lien on the house from a contractor that never got paid for work or something like that on there, it's the title company's job to uncover that, to say, hey, Mr. Buyer, when you buy this house, you're not going to have to worry about anything that happened in the past, any contractors that hadn't been paid, maybe in this case an assessment, maybe that's still hanging out there or whatever. And so that's a very important job. It's an important piece of buying a house. And like you said, the assessments is one of those things that they're going to look at and make sure they address.
Yeah, great question. Appreciate you listening to the show, Lucy. And good luck finding a house as well. Anyway, if you're not represented by an agent, that we can help you, we'd love to. If you have an agent, awesome. And good luck. Hopefully get an offer accepted here. Folks, this is the Minnesota Real Estate. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to your final segment here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope the weekend's going well here, end of July, July 31st. If you're interested in a market analysis, maybe you're looking at refinancing, maybe you're thinking about selling, go to mnrealestateshow.com, fill out the free market analysis form. It's done by an agent on the Minnesota Real Estate team. We know your city, area, school district, community, and we're happy to help you. Again, even if you're just looking to refinance as a courtesy to you, we're happy to do that. Our market analysis oftentimes is much more accurate than the sort of automated valuations that come out with different websites, some of the different national websites that email you what your home is worth. It's good to have an agent do it. Someone take a look and give you an actual valuation on that, Mike. Mike, we were talking a little bit too off air about the percentage of list price, a sale price to list price, and you had commented that it's been over 104 for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's been 104% for the last several weeks here. So, you know, if you got your house listed for sale at $200,000, you know, it's selling for 104% of that. And so that'd be what, 208 on that case, or 216?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I'd be curious to see what happens with that number here moving forward. Is that going to hold? Does that come down? Maybe it goes up. I can't imagine it would go up, but I'm very curious to see what happens with that number here at the end of the year, because again, it doesn't feel good to quote unquote overpay for a house, but you got to remember a list price is just a starting point. It's not what the house is worth. It's not, you know what I mean? It's if someone can list their house for it, this thing is actually worth $400,000, but I'm gonna list it for $1 million.
Sure.
Right. That's just you know what I mean? That's the list price is just a starting point. Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens here moving forward this year, because, I think that number might hold longer than we think, just because interest rates are going to stay down. And again, interest rates are offsetting those costs.
And again, just with those historically low inventory numbers right now in June, to Mike's point, we are at 104.1% percentage of original list price received. That does not mean, however, though, that everything, again, there's exceptions to that. I'm seeing a lot of overpricing in the market of listings. Homes in different price ranges, areas, that's sitting on for 20 days, 30 days, 40 days. Clearly overpriced, just without a doubt overpriced. And so it is important, even in this market, to really drill down and look and get that price point set correctly, Mike, because again, buyers are not just willing to pay anything for properties. And, you know, I did want to mention, you brought up a good point about title companies and what title companies do. That's an important piece prior to closing, Mike, where they're doing that title search to see what's all on there. Is there a back tax lien? Is there another mortgage? Is there anything at all in that title search that you're looking through to determine, can ownership of the property pass? And it's a very important thing that title companies do. And oftentimes, again, as buyers, sellers, you just, hey, you know, I need someone to close the deal. But that's an important piece, Mike.
It is an important piece. Here's a little known fact. When it comes to utilities, not all utilities follow the individual person. So someone lives in a house, they got electrical, they got electricity, they got gas, they got water going to the house. Water is one of those things that does not follow the person. So I actually saw one of my buyers buy a house. The seller had not paid a water bill in probably 8-9 months. There was a $1,200 water bill racked up. Well, that $1,200 water bill, when that house sells, doesn't follow the original owner, the person who used that water. That water bill sticks to the house. So now if the title company doesn't find that past water bill that's out there, and the buyer closes on that house, well, now that buyer just assumed that $1,200 water bill because it sticks to the house and it doesn't follow the person around.
Mm.
So that's a little known deal there. So the title company obviously uncovers that. The title company has to collect that $1,200 then from the seller at the time of closing. Otherwise, the closing doesn't happen because the buyers obviously doesn't want to take on that $1,200 water bill. They didn't use the water. So that's one of those things that, along hundreds of other things that the title company does, just to make sure that when you buy that house, you're not kind of taking on someone else's debt.
Electric bills do not, though, right? Electric bills,
Electric bills and gas bills, I think, follow the individual.
They follow the person.
But the water bills don't. Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I've seen that, too, with water bills, always getting the water bill current with the city. Usually it's administered by the city in that case. But that's a good point.
Or maybe if you're buying a townhouse or a condo that has association dues, they're going to make sure that all the past association dues are paid in full from the current owner.
Yeah.
Because if they're not paid in full, then the buyer could potentially be taking on those past due association bills. And so then that's another thing that the title company is going to check.
So, Mike, do buyers have to escrow when they're purchasing? Like maybe explain that. In other words, where you get an extra few months of taxes and association dues if you're buying a townhome or not. Who makes that decision and why?
It's each loan has its own rules on that. So a VA loan is going to make you escrow. An FHA loan is going to make you escrow. Conventional loan is going to make you escrow if you have less than 20% down. It's your option if you have 20% or more down to escrow for taxes and insurance or not. Jumbo loans, same way as conventional. If you have less than 20% down on a jumbo loan, they're going to make you escrow. If you have 20% or more down, then it's your choice or your option if you want to escrow or not.
Good to know. It's good to know that affects your cash to closing. Obviously, when you're looking to purchase, you know, if you need to escrow, obviously, Mike, you got to bring more money in. And then if you don't, obviously, it's less money's in. How about this one? For the money that you're putting down at closing, can you bring a cashier's check nowadays?
Yeah. Again, that's typically determined by the title company. The title company will say, hey, we will accept a cashier's check, or no, we require a wire to come in. Most title companies will take a cashier's check up to a certain point. Maybe it's $10,000, maybe it's $15,000, maybe it's $25,000. So if your cash that you need to bring to closing is $25,000 or less, you can do a cashier's check or a wire. If it's more than $25,000, then maybe they require you to wire your funds to them.
And speaking of wires, over the years, there's been talk of the scams that are out there. Be sure that you talk to the title company, to your actual closer or closer's assistant, on what that wiring instructions are. In other words, the bank routing number, the bank account number, because I've heard many horror stories, not many, but some around the country of perhaps unsuspecting people who get an email, a hacked email from, it looks like their title company. It says, here's the wiring instructions. And then they do that, and they've now wired the money to some crook, you know, around the world somewhere. So again, it, when you're wiring that money, Mike, that's an important step. I know a lot of title companies will say, look, we need to talk to you. We're going to give you that number.
Yep. And I know that some will send out like an encrypted email where you have to click a link and then set up an account to get to those wiring instructions. Again, yeah, might be a little pain in the butt. Might take you a few more minutes to navigate through there. But again, it's all a safety deal, because the last thing you want to do is, if you're bringing $100,000 to closing, is send that $100,000 to, you know, some unknown place across seas, and then it's gone.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's been a fun show, Mike. Thanks. Thanks as always. We appreciate it throughout the week too. MNRealEstateShow.com. If you're catching part of the show, we do actually podcast it on iHeart and Spotify as well. You can catch all of our shows, past shows as well. MNRealEstateShow.com is where you can go to reach us. Any fun plans the rest of the weekend here, Mike?
Yeah, we're actually going to, we're going to head to South Dakota next here.
Fun.
We have a grandma's birthday.
Hey, how about that?
Turning 100.
Well.
So we're going to go down there and celebrate grandma's birthday.
Is it a centurion?
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Centurion. Very impressive. Awesome job, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ryan. Always glad to be here.
ApplyWithMike.com. Reach out to Mike Overson. We appreciate you tuning in, everybody, to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We're here to help you. Buying, selling, investing in real estate, whatever your needs might be, as the number one selling real estate team in Minnesota, we're focused on you and your best interests. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks again. 'Cause your man is out of town. That's the time.